Welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I am Matthew Nickel, and joining me today, senior wide receiver and captain, Braden Smith. So, Braden, thanks for joining me here tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. We had a nice little conversation last year. I'm excited to do it again, so it should be fun.
Yeah, you're my first second appearance, so that's awesome. You were back all the way on season one, episode six, and it was funny. I was thinking a little bit about this. I'm like, that was like 54 episodes ago. So I think you were my second, I think, interview kind of on this platform as I was, you know, starting to learn vMix and some other stuff. So, yeah, man, it's been a good year. It's, this weekend really felt like football. I mean, for me, I don't think about football until it's really Augie plays. So it's either home or away. That first weekend, is when it's really football for me. So, well, let's talk a little bit about it. So the Simpson game, I tell you what, it was high scoring, way too dramatic for my blood pressure. Definitely a lot closer than I experienced, but I mean, Simpson's, you know, they're building a good program out there. They've got some pretty good athletes, some good transfers coming in, but you know, what were some takeaways, I think, from the game, you know, for the Vikings as you guys were coming back from Indianola?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that we took away from it was, you know, we show sparks at times, and, you know, speaking from the offensive unit, when we're there, we are clicking, and I think a lot of that has to do with Jimmy McCoo coming in and just seeing what his arm and legs open up for our offense. Just two drives were probably a combined total of 5 minutes, and they both ended in long touchdown passes to both Sean Schlanzer and Ethan Verbeek. So I think, you know, having that open fire, you know, explosive offense was something we were really looking forward to, you know, continue, especially going into the Wheaton week. I think another thing from a whole team perspective is, you know, we definitely had a lot of guys go down, myself included. So just seeing other guys rally, you know, take, you know, step up to the plate when it's their opportunity. I think those guys did a great job, but it's also hard having a lot of guys go down as well. So just, you know, rebuilding, taking this bye week to get guys healthy, you know, prepare for one of the better teams in the country. I think that's kind of where we're at right now.
Well, and that's week one in football. It's, you know, how much can you avoid, right, that week one injury? And it just seems to be the biggest week. And it's like, you know, if you can get out of it, you know, with minimal, you know, casualties, that's, you know, that's such a big win. But I mean, like what you said, I mean, definitely, you know, we've got some folks that are banged up, including yourself, which, you know, really would love to see you back on the road to recovery as quick as possible. I know the Wheaton game, you know, was one that you were looking really, really looking forward to. And, you know, anytime you go up against Wheaton, you know, you want to be 100% across the board, right? You know, with the starters, you know, from week one. So, but let's talk through, I mean, some of these stats, like, yeah, let's go top to bottom. I've got the box score here. I think one, I was talking about this a little bit last night on the Voices in the Stand podcast. I covered the CCIW, and, you know, the thing I really talked about was the air attack. You know, Jimmy McCoo, 31 for 49, 375, four touchdowns, you know, a couple of interceptions. And the last 300-yard game was back in November of 2022. When Cole Bardwell, you know, threw for 361 and I think four touchdowns against Carthage. So there's been a little bit of time. I think, you know, the flip side, right, the last couple of years, you know, we had Mike DeJoya in the backfield. So that's, you know, that's another big win. But, you know, Ben Ludlam came out. He had a good game, you know, 92 yards, averaged 4.5. That was, you know, he had a really nice game there as well, kind of stepping into the spotlight for him. Talk to me a little bit about just, I mean, you're reuniting with Jimmy, which is awesome. Obviously a great friend of yours, roommate as well, but talk to me about just how you feel like the attack with kind of Jimmy and what he brings, and obviously with the backfield and Ben and Josh as well. How do you guys kind of balance that a little bit and, in week one and kind of moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing about having Jimmy is it opens up everyone as a threat. I mean, Sean and Ethan are returning starters, and I knew they were capable of 10 reception, 100-yard games since, seeing them play as freshmen. But having Jimmy's arm to open that up and just having Coach Jones, who's literally a mastermind, up in the press box, it's really exciting to see. And, myself going down and seeing those guys, get those opportunities to really take over a game was, as much as it sucked me being on the sideline, was awesome experience for them, because that's going to not only feel good for them, but, other teams watching film, you can't just key in on one guy. And I think you look at the passing yards, Jimmy going for 375. The one thing you don't realize is our running back also had 100. So, I mean, like, what do you do as a defense to stop that? So, I mean, that it's nice to have that diversity in our offense, and Josh Lim as well, huge threat. Like, we've got playmakers all around. Jake Miller, we've really excited to see this offense really continue to click. And, it all starts up front. I was talking to Max Castle, who's one of our leader linemen, who's bumped around from guard to tackle just because of injuries and how diverse his game is. Just talking with the line about them being the tip of the spear, just meaning, the first point of attack is the most important part, and that starts with our offensive line. So I think they really took that personal. I think Jimmy went down maybe once on a sack, but other than that, I think we really clicked as a whole unit. So it was exciting to see, and I'm excited to see us expand on that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you talked about the receiving core. Yeah, so Vrabak, 8 for 105 and a touchdown. Sean, 11 for 104 and two touchdowns. Mikey Brosnan, he came in 5 for 94 and a touchdown. You had 4 for 52. Jake and Josh both had a catch. And Miles Stapleton had a catch there as well. But, it's like, that's seven different targets. Obviously, Ben Ludlum can break it at any point. I mean, Josh, I think he has some little bit deceptive speed there. So it's like, if he gets past that second level, like, see you later. When I think about, like, man, offensively being able to kind of put everything together this year, is definitely huge. And what I thought was really interesting is how mobile Jimmy McCoo was. He extended several plays that ultimately was like, ooh, I don't know. Like, we're trying to fit something in on third and long. And next thing you know, he's picking up a first down. So, that's another wrinkle when you think about being successful in the CCIW. It's the mobility of the quarterback to pick up those extra yards and get those conversions. Cause those are huge. So that was awesome. Otherwise, what were some takeaways just around like the receiver core? I mean, when you went out, like, how does your mindset shift in terms of like staying engaged with the receivers, going from player to now kind of coach and mentor? How does that kind of change in game for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think when it first happened, when I went down, I was, of course, pissed. But, as a captain and older guy in that offensive unit, you kind of got to flip that switch. You don't really have a choice. You got to be there, support them, give them your perspective from now as on the sideline, almost like a coach. I think the biggest thing for me, I wasn't worried about any of our receivers in particular, but Sean and Ethan, they're like the old men now. They kind of get the groove of things. But seeing Mikey Brosnan really step up and, essentially take over the game was, like, exciting for me to see. And he's one of the hardest workers I know. So playing alongside him and him kind of opening up our offense as a slot receiver is, I'm very happy for him. And just going forward, I know that he's earned not only the coach's trust, but, like, all of us players out there as well. So I'm excited to see him kind of contribute to that pass attack that we kind of showcased this past Saturday.
Yeah, it's, you talk about, go back a couple of years, it's Bobby and Sarah and you. Now it's you and then Mikey, coming on, Brosnan coming on. That slot receiver, I think, is so important to have, strong, talented folks, playmakers, because you can do so much. You can be so versatile in our offense. So it was awesome to see, when it was actually the same play he scored on, the same play he ran in Loris that he scored on. So, and it's like, just get the ball in the hands and let him go.
For sure.
And that's what you want to try and do with some of your best athletes. So that's awesome. And what I, one thing I've noticed a little bit more this year, I thought, is, Sean, he's taller. He's got a lot longer stride. Feels like he's getting out of his gate a little bit quicker. And then, Vrabak, I mean, he's caught several balls just over people. And like, that's a whole nother dynamic when you think about, like, whether it was, Carroll or North Central and some of these other teams that, have historically had taller receivers, those one-on-one matchups, is critical when it comes down, to the later parts of the game. And so, like, having those two being able to go up, and if you want them to go high point it, there's not many cornerbacks in the CCIW that are going to jump with them. So that's a
Yeah, for
another
sure.
wrinkle.
Yeah, and I think a big thing about that is just seeing, like you're saying, with us at the slot receiver, Coach Jones is really able to, put us anywhere, which also means putting other guys in unique spots for them. A lot of times Coach Jones will put maybe me outside to get a look, but I think same thing's happening with Sean and Ethan now. He's willing to put them inside or in other formations we're not used to because there's that trust there. And I mean, on Sean's, I think it was the 30-yard touchdown, he was in the slot for that actually. So I mean, you don't see too many 6'5" receivers in the slot. So I mean, that's definitely got to be a threat for a lot of defenses in the country.
Yeah. Well, that, and it just allows, the playbook, again, like you said, it just opens up, and it gives so many different looks, and just people in different spots still running the same route combination. You just expect things a little bit different. So, yeah, it was great to see, Simpson, obviously they came to play, at the end of the day. One thing I thought was interesting is DeMarco Young, the running back for Simpson, is deaf. And I don't know if many people knew that.
Really?
Yeah. And actually, I learned about this, was it last year or the year before last? So it's pretty interesting. I follow him actually on X, but someone with, like, I was trying to watch the sideline and, like, see, like, how is he communicating and some of those things. But pretty neat. Pretty neat as well. Wait, let's talk a little bit about being a captain. We talked a little bit about last year because, it was your first year as a captain. But now I think about, all right, your second year as a captain, you're a senior. How have things maybe changed for you? Or maybe even if you want to go back and say, how did being a captain last year impact your leadership style? And, like, are you seeing yourself lead differently or in other ways kind of this year?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a bit different of an aspect of how I'm leading, not necessarily because I'm doing it again, but maybe because instead of make a junior, trying to lead freshmen, sophomore, and seniors even, just kind of being a captain, but also the oldest guy. So I guess that comes with a little bit of credibility that, all of our seniors have earned. And I mean, having those captains we had last year, especially Hugh Keeney, definitely hard to replace those guys, but I think Toby, Nick, and Dylan have done a great job asserting themselves as guys, that don't want to just be titled as captains, but really want to lead us to wins. And whether it's in the weight room or on the field or in the class, like there's kind of just setting the tone for how we should present ourselves as, men on campus, I guess you could put it. But one thing we talked about that I didn't really look at from this perspective, but there shouldn't, in our opinion, us captains have agreed on it, there shouldn't be a there shouldn't be a need for a captain. It should just be 130 guys with the same mindset, and maybe 30 of us as seniors who lead us the rest of the way. I think the term captain is a bit overwhelming in the sense that there could have been 20 different guys that have earned that title. So we don't want to look at it as, oh, we're the captains, we have to lead. Like, the more guys willing to step up and voice their opinions and lead those younger guys, the better. And I think the senior class as a whole has done a great job, even some juniors. So I credit to them.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, you're a senior now. Dylan, the other night when I was talking to him, he called himself an old man. He felt like an old man. I'm like, you're not. I feel old, and I'm still not, and I'll be 43 here in like 3 weeks. I always find myself like giving different types of advice. Like, I was actually at work and gave, some advice to one of my, members on my team, just some kind of career advice and things like that. And now that you're kind of in your senior year, how has the advice sort of changed, or your perspective on the type of advice that you give? Have you found, that you're giving, I guess let me ask you this. Just what type of advice would you give to those underclassmen, or maybe those incoming freshmen on the team that maybe is just a little bit new or different than you wouldn't have maybe last year?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the biggest thing, I think this is kind of a common theme, not even with Division III, but just all of college football. Like, guys will weed themselves out like within the first 2 weeks of being on the team. And I think for those freshmen and sophomore, if you can find it within yourself to, understand that you're buying in, there shouldn't be any more any timidness or lack of confidence. At the end of the day, it's college football, and coaches want to put the best players out there. And I think a lot of guys shy away from that competitive nature just because, they're still getting the grasp of things, or, they think, I don't know, I was the man in high school, and they think they're going to come here and just kind of walk over everyone. And I get that's kind of the mindset. Like, even I had coming in here, I thought I was going to start right away, but there's definitely a season of, being humbled. But once you kind of acclimate to this level of college football, is just attack it right away. And I think there's no doubt a handful of freshmen that, have earned themselves a special teams role just by week one, and linemen finding themselves in big heavy sets to, compete out there on Saturdays as opposed to Sundays. So I think it's really just, getting that familiarity with college football and then attacking it head on. And it's great to see, the more freshmen that can do that, and sophomores as well, like, the better we become as a whole team.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't think I asked you this last time, but what's something about yourself that maybe not many people know about?
That's a good one. I don't know. I mean, I would say, I think more the closer you get to me, the more you realize it, but I'm definitely very, hard on myself, kind of a perfectionist. So I think that comes with a lot of pros and cons. I'd say the pros, just having this mindset where I can perfect things drives me to work harder. But when things, maybe don't go our way, or there's small setbacks, it definitely gets to me at times. Not really holds me back, but it's just being an athlete, being a college athlete, of course you're going to hold yourself to a high standard, but I definitely find myself, putting myself in a position where it can affect me, not necessarily my play or like my mental well-being, but just putting myself in situations where I'm, always judging my every move, holds me to a standard that, gratefully, I don't think I crumble under it. But at times you gotta, take a step back and realize we're human. So I think that's one thing most people don't know about me, just very hard on myself,
Well,
for better or
that's
worse.
what, yeah, no, they say sometimes you're your own worst critic, right? So,
Yeah, for sure.
but you also, you also set a high standard for yourself. Like you said, if you don't have high expectations for yourself, nobody else will. So I think,
Yeah.
continuing to, to set that bar for yourself, it's only gonna, make you better in life at the end of the day.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, I was curious, I mean, because you're obviously, we know you're a business, marketing major. This past summer, I know sometimes with football players, sometimes it's tough to do internships because they're kind of getting ready for the season. Did you get a chance to do anything this past summer at all, or not?
Yeah, so maybe this is me being a little living in the moment and not thinking too ahead, but I actually decided to just do my own handyman stuff, like exterior, like painting fences, fixed a couple slabs on decks, whatever the case. And I did that myself. I think the biggest thing for that was just so I could set my own schedule for training. Going into the summer, I definitely told myself, as much as an internship may help, this is very likely your last year playing football, so I just figured I'd go all in with it. So I think that was really my mindset behind what I was going to do this summer. So it was fun. I got to learn a lot, but most importantly, I got to, control my own schedule so I could get ready for this year.
Yeah, no, that's, like learning, so those, some of those skills, were you just kind of learning along the way, or is that something you've had some exposure to, like growing up, or?
Yeah, most of the men in my family have kind of been in the trade, so I've definitely been able to take some stuff from them. I've worked with a carpenter in the past, so kind of just figuring out how to do that work, but then also do it by myself was a big thing this summer. Definitely a big learning experience, a lot of ups and downs. I wouldn't say I necessarily ran a business, but kind of felt like it in the sense of, controlling my own schedule and quoting jobs, nothing like huge, but it was nice to, learn that stuff, and hopefully it contributes when I'm a homeowner, not having to pay someone else to do little stuff around the house. So I guess from that perspective, it was enjoyable.
Man, you can save a ton of money if you know how to turn a little bit of a wrench, run a little
Yeah,
wiring.
for real.
Like, I remodeled
Definitely.
our home house, our whole house, and I had my father-in-law, who passed a few years ago. He kind of took me under his wing, and he was a finished carpenter, and just like learning, how to hang cabinets, how to do up, how to hang cabinets correctly. I mean, anyone can hang a cabinet, but
Yeah.
to hang it correctly, is another
Yeah.
thing. And I just remember sometimes I'm sitting there, doing something, and boy, I think I'm really like doing a great job, and I just kind of look over, and he's just looking at me like, "What are in the world are you absolutely doing here?" And I'm like,
Yeah.
"Okay, what am I doing wrong?" And it just kind of laughs. Like, it's all part of the learning
Yeah.
experience, right? But there's nothing more, I think, sometimes more satisfying than, being able to do some things around your house, because you'll start to find out. Not a lot of people will take the time to do it. They would rather pay, for someone to do it. And it's like, you
Yeah.
can save yourself just cost of materials. And that's, labor is ridiculous. I mean, that's where a majority of your cost is.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Have you found something like that you've done, handyman wise, that you're like, you kind of like, or anything that you maybe don't like?
Yeah, I mean, manual labor sucks regardless. But when you're, I think the biggest thing for me that I enjoyed was, when people gave me, like I've never really done landscape design, but a lot of people, surprisingly, I think, thought I was in that industry, so they're asking me to do some of that stuff, and definitely very manually demanding. But I think the creativity aspect of doing some labor was really surprising to see, because I mean, in the past I've just been a laborer, helped a guy out, a carpenter, he'll just tell me, hey, go do this, go do that, but having your own creativity with it was definitely an aspect of the industry that I was like, maybe I could, see myself doing this in the future. So that was fun. I think that was the biggest thing from the work side of it that I was like, I never knew this could be sweating my ass off for 8 to 10 hours could be so fun. But yeah, no, there are definitely times I was like, this is real rewarding. So it was interesting. It was fun. Definitely glad I spent the summer doing that.
Well, you get to see like the fruits of your labor at the end, right? Like there's a finished
Yeah.
product. And it's interesting. I threw out to the Augie tailgate, especially like freshman or sophomore, or some of the families and parents I haven't got to really, or players I haven't got to really know as much, because there's 100 plus kids. And Kristen Peterson, so Ryan Peterson, who's a freshman on the O-line. One of the things I thought was really interesting is like a fun fact about him is he's a really good woodworker, and apparently he's built
Really?
a bunch of furniture for their house. So,
Interesting.
yeah. So
Maybe
when you
we'll
talk
have to
about that,
collaborate in the off season.
Well, I went down, some of that stuff is so cool. I went down to Tennessee and spent a week kind of in Amish country. I was actually down visiting the Breedens down at their place, and they live, there's a bunch of in the middle of Amish country in Etheridge, Tennessee. And had a chance to go out and like tour all the Amish. I got to tour a couple of, oh, you still there? Lose you there?
You there?
Oh, there we go. Okay, I think I lost you there for a second.
I lost you at Amish country, so.
Yeah, no worries. So we're down in Amish country visiting the Breedens. I'll edit that part out where you weren't just like deathly staring at me. I was like, he either has
Right,
really
sounds good.
great like focus right now, or what? And I was like, oh, it might. But yeah, I mean, it was super cool because we were just kind of boondocking to some degree in their field, outside of their house. And we had a chance to go and visit, all the different Amish families. And, so we went and got a bunch of just like, canned goods, some baked goods. But we actually got to go and tour one of the Amish places that are one of the Amish families that builds like cabinets and custom cabinets, and how they do it, the high level of craftsmanship. How they have like their all of their equipment is ran off of like a Kawasaki motor, and it's
Really?
all based on pulleys like all the way around their
That's,
shop,
yeah.
to like some of their outdoor furniture and just some of the most beautiful furniture you'll ever see. It was definitely pretty cool. So like there's a maybe as you get old in life, like myself, you start to really kind of appreciate, some of that stuff. So it's cool to
Yeah.
hear you did something different.
Yeah, you said you saw the Breedens this past summer.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, they're a fun group, so hope they're doing well.
They are. Well, did you hear the story about Johnny sending his card to Kentucky?
Yeah, that video actually like blew up, and I don't know if it got 1 million views or something, but I actually saw it before anyone sent it to me, just scrolling, like no one sent it to me. I just randomly saw it, and then before you know it, like our whole team was sending it around. That was hilarious.
So I'll share the story. I'll share the story because it's a great one for any, anybody else that's listening. So, all right. So for this right here, this is the Johnny Breeden thank you, graduation card. And he attempted to send it to his cousin in Kentucky. Well, lo and behold, cousin doesn't live at that address anymore. And whoever was there that got it said, put it on their TikTok, right? And said, I don't know who this is, but he's now cousin Johnny, and like put it on his mantle. And same thing, like 50 million views later, it blew up. He actually created a TikTok because of it. So he ended up meeting up with them. I think it was last week in Kentucky. And then I saw like this week he was down at the Breeden's farm. And they're running around on the razor and like doing videos and stuff. So,
Really?
Yeah.
So funny.
So we're actually we were talking yesterday and today we're gonna collab, I think, on here and do something with both of them just because it's a great story. But you know, it reminds me of who was it? The lady that sent the wrong text to, you know, some random guy. You know, he was like, you know, in his early teens. The next thing you know, they've been doing
Oh,
like Thanksgiving dinner for the last
yeah, I was
15
saying, so the
years.
Thanksgiving text, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Hilarious stuff.
cool.
Now the
So
one thing I
glad it's
want.
still like good people, like social, funny people. Like, that's
It
cool to make a
does.
story out of it.
Well, and it's just a bond, you know. Now they have a TikTok handle. We dot R dot family, I think, or we are fam or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never had a TikTok account. I'm like, all right, I gotta do this just to follow JB and them because it's
Yeah,
hilarious. Now the one thing I wanted to ask, because you and I were texting about it. Because we were talking about, you know, me coaching my son's team, and we have Alvarado, he's over there coaching our defense for us.
oh, really? That's cool.
So, you know, knowing he just was finishing up school, he actually worked with me during the summer for an internship. And he'll start with us full time when he graduates in December. He'll start with us in January. So I kind of snaked him into helping coach my son's defense, which has been a ton of fun, you
Wait.
know, hanging out with
Yeah,
him.
no, I'm sure.
But your little brother, you know, we were talking about this, plays football and wrestles. So tell me a little bit about
Yes.
your little brother and like your relationship with him. Like, how old is he? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so he's 14. He's my best friend, without a doubt. At the same time, he's my little brother, so we get into it, but no, he's unfortunately similar to me, except way worse. He tore his labrum, so he's gonna be missing all of his freshman football season, which not only does he love football, I think the whole aspect of freshman year sports, you know, you start meeting all your friends and you know, so you see who the good athletes are. I think he's a bit sad about that, but I mean he's got the mindset where he's just ready for wrestling after this. So I being away hard, especially from him, he's my best friend. I try to call him every night or text him every night at least. But yeah, I mean him dealing with that's his own thing. But other than that, no, he loves football just as much as I do. Wrestling, I was probably a little more basketball and he's a little more wrestling. We both kind of got to high school and had to choose one or the other. I chose basketball, he chose wrestling. Definitely the right choice for him. So excited to see his wrestling season take off once he's back and healthy. Usually for the bye week, I'll go home to catch one of his games, but unfortunately he's not playing, so that'll be a tough one to, you know, I always love seeing him play football, but you know, there's always next year. But yeah, no,
Absolutely.
he's my best friend without a doubt.
So, what's it about wrestling? You know, you said you really pointed out you really enjoy watching him wrestle. You
Yeah.
know, why so much wrestling? You know, is it just, you know, expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I had a taste of wrestling. I did it in middle school. I still think about it to this day if I kept doing it. But I think the whole, just the culture of wrestling, just the discipline and the aspect that it's one man against another really sticks out to me. So I think, you know, him crafting this mindset as a young man that like it's big cliche, but the ball's in his court, except there's no ball on that court. But just seeing him kind of carve his own path in a sport that I didn't take on further is exciting to see. And he's definitely, you know, made a name for himself. He's had a really successful middle school career, was practicing with the high school guys in middle school. So I think that he, I don't think he'll say it, I don't think I would necessarily say it either, but I think kind of taken as over as his best sport, and to see him so, you know, determined with that makes me like as an older brother definitely very proud. And then football is football, we always will love that. So Just balancing those two sports and seeing how they complement each other as well, is cool to see.
Well, wrestling is such an intimate sport. Yeah, it's the one, it's the one sport that, it's similar to like travel baseball, right? It's like you're engaged in baseball and travel baseball like year round. You're wrestling, year round. You're not just with a school. Sometimes you're with a club, and whether you're doing, you're Greco or you're doing freestyle, like are you going out and kind of doing different, aspects of it and different styles. Yeah, it's just such an intimate sport and people can, like I've seen it just in my boys. They both started wrestling at 3 years old. Their confidence level just
Oh,
can
yeah.
shoot through the roof.
Without a doubt.
And but yeah, it's so much fun and there's never been, 3 minutes where you're just physically and mentally exhausted at the end of a match. So, well, that's awesome. Well, hey, well, lastly, if there's, anyone in particular you want to thank, friends, family, any shout outs you like to make, we'll just kind of wrap it up with you and kind of the floor is all yours.
Well, first, thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure. We've talked many times about just, what you do for the sports community on Augie, and there's not a lot of people that are willing to, step up and do all the marketing for us and just kind of that exposure you offer. So thank you for that, of course. And then I guess after that, I just thank my family and teammates, just for, giving me another reason to keep pushing to be the best person I can be. No, it's a lot of people to be thankful for in my life. Grateful to have them all. So, yeah, that's all I got for you.
No, I love it. Well, we'll end on that. Well, hey, thanks again for joining me. Again, I say this and I say this, almost every time, I'm done with this, but it's always a privilege to watch, a Augie football, but, get to meet, players like yourself. It's humbling, it's a ton of fun. I love being engaged with the sport. The Augustana community is amazing. The parents are awesome. So again, it's just a ton of fun to do this. Speedy recovery. Hopefully we can, hopefully you can get back to
Thank you.
100%, here soon. Certainly, good luck
Sure.
this, the rest of the season. Take the weekend off, which is nice. We'll be back at home opening against Wheaton. So hopefully I'll get a chance to catch you either
Can't wait for that one. Yep.
before or after here. So, all righty, sir. Well, hey, enjoy the rest of your night and we'll catch you here next weekend.
Will do. Looking forward to it.
Like today's episode, make sure to just subscribe to the Viking Press Pass.
Four letters, one year, word. Four letters, one word. Yay!